Welcome into Jags AM. I'm Kainani Stevens back here with us for Free Agency Week. It's a big week in the NFL and a big splash, of course, already right out of the gate for the Jaguars. Brian Sexton and John Osier with me as we react to some of those reported signings so far. Our big thing number one today is going to be big splash, because last year we felt the Jaguars didn't do a ton in free agency. They kind of tried to rework what they had the season before, but they are not wasting any time in free agency this time around. Brian, a lot of names reportedly coming to this team. Of course, they're not official until Wednesday, but maybe five or six players that we know of. What was the biggest name that stood out to you?
Mitch Morse, and I'm sure that doesn't surprise you because of the way that I have harped on the interior offensive line and the lack of push that Luke Fortner gave this team last year. They were amongst the worst teams in the league on third down and short, 3 yards or less. And on the most important play of the season, that fourth and goal from the one in Tennessee, they got pushed backwards. So bringing in a veteran guy who was in the Pro Bowl in 2022, has been with both Kansas City and Buffalo, Mitch Morse is a name that caught my attention because he's a veteran presence that you can count on in the middle of the line. He and Sheriff and whoever is at that left guard, it's going to be Cleveland, right? Last year they had a lot of turnover there. But it gives you a veteran presence in the middle of that line and a guy who's proven it, John.
Yeah, I thought this was obviously the one they needed to do. I'll go a different direction for the sake of not going the same direction as Brian. Gabe Davis, wide receiver from Buffalo, obviously, I think he fits into what they're doing. I don't know that this team needs a quote, true number one in this offense. They really didn't have a true number one in 2022. Everything sort of fit together. Trevor Lawrence didn't feel pressure to go to any particular receiver that year. Maybe they're getting back to that where the ball can just sort of go organically. I think Gabe Davis gives you deep speed. He gives you big play ability. I don't know that he's going to give you 1,000 yards. He's never done that. But he gives you 16.7 reception, and that stretches the field. Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram can work underneath. Maybe that's the way to go. I don't know about Calvin Ridley yet, but if all you have going in are Zay Jones, Davis, Kirk, and Ingram, that's a foursome you can work with.
Yeah, I would think that when you look at a hybrid situation, you've got Ingram and Kirk, who are clearly the number one guys, the guys who the quarterback depends on, Kai. I like Davis because he does have that size that the Jaguars would like to have on the perimeter, a guy you can throw the 50-50 ball up to and expect that he'll come down with it.
Two Buffalo Bills heading south to Jacksonville. We'll report that officially, of course, for you on Wednesday. Our second big thing today is not done yet. John, you mentioned it. Calvin Ridley, we haven't heard any news about him right just yet. Is no news good news right now? Does that mean he might still be coming back to Jacksonville, or do you think he's headed elsewhere?
Well, sort of the way you said it, no news isn't bad news.
Sure.
So that's okay. I think they're in a good situation with Calvin, where if it's Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, and then you retain Zay Jones, I think you're okay with that. If you can bring back Calvin at a number that makes sense, where it fits, where it's whatever kind of contract workout for both sides, that makes sense too. So they've sort of put themselves in that situation where they don't, I'll use a draft term, Ryan, they don't have to reach for Calvin Ridley now.
Okay.
If it works, it works. I'd be a little surprised, but I've been surprised before.
You know, I would be surprised if he came back. They went right after a receiver in Gabe Davis, and that was, you know, the first indicator. But I do know this. When you get to day one of the open negotiating window and you're not getting a lot of action, it kind of sets the market. And what we had heard was that Ridley was going to have a chance and want to be a highly paid, productive receiver somewhere. Clearly the number one. But he didn't get any action on day one. Maybe it changes here on day two and he comes up with that big deal, but perhaps his market is closer to what the Jaguars thought it was than what his representation thought it was.
And Kai, what I wonder is, you know, I got the sense late in the season, and this is purely going off a couple of conversations where I was one of many people around Calvin. I got the idea he wanted to come back. Maybe there's three or four teams involved and there's not a number out there that's just blowing Jaguars out of the water. And he keeps saying, you know what, I like being down there. Mm-hmm. Speculation at this point, obviously, but maybe.
And something else to consider, Kai, is the Jaguars, and I don't know all the numbers of the players they signed yesterday, but, you know, they didn't have much cap room, about $17 million, and they still got to sign their class. You've got Josh Allen hanging with $24 million on the franchise tag. And then you also have the opportunity, perhaps, to do something with the quarterback to bring the cap numbers down so that you can create opportunity if you want to go and play a little bit more or to find Calvin Ridley room if he's still out there. So the Jaguars still have decisions they've got to be making and plans they've got to be laying out with respect to number 41 and number 16.
Something we'll be keeping an eye on for sure, both of those things, and of course Josh Allen long-term as well. Our final big thing today is going to be draft decisions. So we saw them do a ton of free agency on day one, essentially. And what does that mean for the draft, Brian? We've been talking about the areas of need, but they've addressed a couple of those places. So how does this affect maybe where they go in the first round?
Well, this gives them the ability to take whoever they want, right? They feel like they've got three offensive tackles. Now they've got two guys that can compete at center. They've got a number of guards when you bring Cooper Hodges back to the equation this year. Same thing, you bring in Ronald Darby. They really like Christian Braswell, who didn't get to play last year very much. They've got some numbers at corner. They've got some numbers at safety. So really, John, you're in the position where if you're sitting at 17 and there's a defensive tackle you like, you can take him, right? You don't have to lean into cornerback because you let Darius Williams go. You don't have to lean into receiver because you didn't re-sign Calvin Ridley. It lets them make that best available player choice.
Well, every GM wants to be able to line up the day before the draft, meaning you don't have to go reach for a guy. You don't have to plug him in as a starter. I still feel like maybe corner is a spot that is similar to what tackle was last year, where you looked at it and said, you know, maybe they don't have to go get Anton Harrison, but boy, they need that spot on the offensive line. To me, corner still feels that, but this puts them in a situation where if they're not feeling it at number 17, as you said, if there is what they consider an impact player somewhere else, you can go another direction.
Certainly be interesting. We'll have a couple weeks to talk that over, but free agency is upon us and a lot of names allegedly heading to Jacksonville. We're going to talk over all of those right after we come back from the break here on Jags AM. Move the freight. Magellan Transport was voted the coolest office space in Jacksonville. You can apply online at www.magellanlogistics.com. We're back here on Jags AM in the Hyundai Studios. I'm happy to be back with my friends. Did you guys miss me?
You've been gone a couple weeks.
Have you guys been fighting? Have you been getting along?
Did you go somewhere?
Oh, stop.
No, we get along fine.
Okay. Yeah, no
we
problem.
Really do. It's great.
Yeah, right. One more time.
You're back on the same side of the couch. This is trouble. A lot going on in my first day back at work yesterday. Reported signings, of course, nothing official until Wednesday. But we do get, you know, the legal tampering period, so we get a little more
insight. I heard open negotiating window, and I like that term better.
Open negotiating window. Yeah, I mean, they already knew it. Let's be honest. Yeah, everybody already knew what they were doing before.
The tampering is now before the open negotiation window.
Okay, got it. Open negotiation window. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about maybe the names that stand out. Obviously, those two Buffalo Bills, but this kind of a little bit reminiscent of maybe 2 years ago. I mean, when Doug Peterson first got here, they kind of went out and got some people to address some needs.
Yeah, they didn't, because they couldn't splash as heavy as they might have done a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They just don't have the cap room to be able to do it. But as John mentioned, that, you know, they were lining up. They were putting bodies in place. You know, Darnell Savage is a guy who was the 19th pick of the first round the year that the Packers took him. Had a couple of good years with them, had a couple of years where he wasn't quite as productive and they were willing to let him walk. So you hope that you go and capture a young guy who's still got plenty of upside and development and may fit in your system. The thing that strikes me about most of these guys is that you are bringing in guys who have to come in at a lower cap number, right? The demand might not have been there on the market, but the Jaguars wanted him, and that's what's important. Especially with a guy like Savage, you got a new defensive coordinator who's bringing in a new scheme, and you need guys who can do what he wants them to do.
I think Darby fits that as well, and so does Savage. Look, ideally, you're not bringing in this many free agents. I mean, I'm going to shout at the clouds a little bit, but you'd rather be getting these guys through the draft. Credit them for looking at it and saying, you know what, we drafted Fortner, but we've got to fix the center issue, not hanging on to that. Credit to them. Gabe Davis, to me, all these guys sort of fit it what I like in this sense. You're not playing at the high end of free agency where you're absolutely crippling yourself if you don't work. I would term this as maybe the very, very end of the first wave of free agency. I'd rather play in the second wave.
Right.
If you had to play in the first wave, play at this level. All these guys make sense. And I will say this, the one thing about them going after free agents, in 3 or 4 years, Trent is very, very, very good at picking the right free agents.
Right.
They've had more success with free agency than any team I've been around, Jaguars, Colts, whatever. So there's a high percentage chance these guys fit.
Right. You know, Kai, we're talking about free agency day one, right, mm-hmm. and the guys the Jags brought in. And we're going to turn to the draft really quickly. But we shouldn't forget that in between that is maybe the most important component, and that's all the draft picks they had last year, right? All the guys, you know, Tyler Lacy and Cooper Hodges and Eric Hallett and Christian Braswell. I mean, these are guys that you brought in to be jars on the shelf, developmental guys. You didn't need them last year, but you need them this year and next year as you're paying Josh Allen and you're paying Trevor. You're going to pay some of these guys. So you need low-cost guys who can come in and play like starters. And I don't want people to forget that that group last year was big for a reason, because they needed bodies. Many, many developmental guys. And that's, to me, other than Mitch Morse, that draft class from last year is more important than everyone else that they signed.
It's very important. Is Antonio Johnson good? Is Parker Washington good?
Yes.
Cooper Hodges, we keep hearing about.
You know, can Ventrell Miller come back and be a key linebacker for you?
I do wonder, with Cooper Hodges, had he been healthy last year, maybe their equation on the offensive line is different.
Yep.
That sort of, I think, handcuffed them a little bit. They love Cooper Hodges, but he didn't play, so it's hard to say, hey, this is our guy going forward.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see what he's able to do in training camp, obviously work his way in. They've added at center there with Mitch Morse. I made a little to-do list for us here on Jags AM. I did an off-season to-do list. Obviously, number one is sign Josh Allen to a long-term deal. That one has yet to get checked off.
But we know the cost now.
We now know.
Because Brian Burns got huge deal from the Giants. $150 million, 87.7 guaranteed. And I think it pushes him over $30 million a year average. Okay. That's what it costs now for Josh Allen.
Well, my guess is that's what happened at the deadline, is the cap went up. Josh's people, and this is purely speculation, Josh's people look at the market and say, well, if we sign for $29 million, in 2 years, he's going to be grossly underpaid. Mm-hmm. So they probably went to the Jaguars and said this, and the Jaguars went, well, we got to see if that makes any sense. Now that they see what it is, maybe something gets done.
Well, and production-wise, I mean, Josh and Brian, since they came into the league, are very close in terms of the number of overall sacks. And last year, Brian Burns, on a bad team, had 12 and a half sacks, and on a pretty decent team, pretty good team, Josh Allen had 17 and a half. So, I mean, it's just, if you're Josh Allen's people, you're putting a little bit bigger deal now in front of Trent and his people, saying, this is what we want.
When does this get done, though? I feel like we've been talking about this for months, and it's like...
Well, you want the room. You need the room. To be able to do some things and have maneuverability with your cap. So I would imagine they're trading proposals here in the next week.
All right, we talked a little bit about the O-line, what they've done there. That was on our to-do list. And then adding some depth on defense. We talked a little bit about it, John, but I kind of like where they added in the defensive backs to kind of also, as you mentioned, allow these second-year, third-year players that the Jags have to see what they have, right? Cisco's going to be up soon, on cornerback, they didn't get really what they wanted. They let Darius go. So we'll see what Tyson Campbell's kind of able to do, whether he was hurt a lot last year, if he can bounce back, whether that's someone they want to keep long term. I think this will be a big year on defense to kind of see what you have and whether you want to keep that continuing next season.
Yeah, it's Tyson Campbell was sort of a lock for an extension before last year.
Now
didn't
you don't
play,
know.
You know.
Had the hamstring and missed.
Yeah, the hamstring. I don't think you can look at Tyson Campbell's season and not factor the hamstring in heavily. So what they're going to have to do next offseason is they're going to have to figure out how cornerback's going to look. At some point, you need to draft them because it's a young man's position, and right now they have Tyson Campbell going into year four, Ronald Darby in year 10. You don't know what nickel looks like. That's why I still think corner is a big possibility at number 17, because that's a position that you want to keep young, because it is a young man spring in the legs position. So not that Tyson's old, but you don't know if he's coming back after this year. So you got to make sure that position is young and vibrant, like Kai, not us.
I love a compliment this early in the morning. I'll take
it. Welcome back, Kai.
Thank you. Final thing on my list, I kind of threw on there because I know we have talked a little bit about it. Is Trevor still part of a conversation of something they do this year, or have they really fully pushed it to next year?
Well, I don't think you ever fully push your quarterback to next year. I think you're always looking at your cap from a 30,000-foot view and trying to figure out, when do we need to do it? Late summer is kind of the time. Joe Burrow got his deal done.
Yeah, that's when Mahomes got his done.
Yeah.
That's usually the time. because it takes, it's so complex. It's and it sounds silly, but they've been busy in the last 6 weeks. So at some point, summer gives you a chance to say, okay, here's our cap. Here's how it works. Here's how it fits. Get on the phone. Hey, Shad, this is a big one. So there's a lot that goes into this, because if you look at the Burrow number, if you look at the Mahomes number, it shapes your franchise, hopefully for 10 years, how that is structured, how other things fit, how it grows.
It's the engine that drives your salary cap.
How much you want to have in each year. So I think if memory serves, I think Herbert got done late as well. So Herbert, Burrow, a lot of the mega deals, Josh Allen, I don't think any of them around the start of the league year, because it's too much to try to get done.
And I think that when you look at it, but Doug said resoundingly at the combine, he's our guy. Okay. Well, you know you're going to get a deal done for him, right? You're going to extend him. So figure out what the number is. As John said, kind of take your time, look at your whole salary cap picture, and then go ahead and make the offer. But you've got his fourth year and his fifth year option, so you do have the backstop. You don't need to necessarily get it done. If you can't come to a number that works, you can be patient with it. But if he's your guy, you want to set your salary cap up for 2025 and beyond as soon as you can.
Something to keep an eye on a little bit later on in the summer as things get closer to training camp. Stay with us here as we're going to do an Ozone mailbag when we come back after the break. Jags fans, you can join us on Tuesday, April 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 at EverBank Stadium for the Be Inspired by Jags Jobs. And of course, also Jaguars fans, gear up at Fanatics.com with all the latest Jags styles. Shop now, get today's special offer, Fanatics.com. Officially licensed everything.
This broadcast is Ozone friendly.
One of our very favorite segments, John, as we get your readers, our viewers, listeners, to write in and see what they have questions about.
Yeah. It's a good segment. I enjoy it.
I know.
You say so yourself.
All right. Our first reader, viewer, listener, David from the Island, he wants to know, does the signing for Morris and trading for Jones negatively affect the Jags when computing compensatory picks next year?
No. And I only included this because there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. I think any acquisition is going to cost you compensatory picks. First of all, I'd be surprised if they get a compensatory pick now, because they have been active in free agency. The formula is gains and losses involving unrestricted free agents in one offseason affect your compensatory picks the next offseason. They traded for Jones, he's not in it. Morse was not unrestricted because he was released by Buffalo. Now that said, they've gone after four unrestricted guys, not huge number guys. But when you go after that many, they would have to lose somebody dramatic like Ridley. Maybe they get one in that, but I'd be a little surprised because they've gained a lot in free agency. That's been the reason that the Jaguars haven't had compensatory picks for the last decade or so, is they haven't drafted well historically.
Yep.
So they have been active in free agency. And when you're that active in free agency, you don't get the compensatory picks because you're more active than you lose.
I can't add anything to that. I mean, the one thing I do know is that they have tweaked this system yearly to try to get it right. You lose a big free agent, generally you're going to get a bottom of the third round pick. You lose some middle guys, you're generally going to get a sixth or seventh round pick.
All right, well, we'll see how that ends
up. But if you sign guys,
it cancels out.
Yeah, that negates all that. So there is a little bit of a misconception. A lot of my Ozone readers said, well, they should just get rid of Ridley, they'll get a third round pick. Well, not if you go out and be active. So that doesn't add up. And people will be mad next year if that happens, but that's how it is.
All right, let's hear another Fanatic fan question. Brian from Tampa is next up, and he says, the Jags got more expensive on Monday, but did they get better?
Well, and I included this one because I'm not sure they got that much more expensive. Yes, you get expensive when you play in free agency, but I didn't get the idea that this was just cash at the door, throw everything at it guy. This was a more measured approach. I think they got better because I think Mitch Morse makes you better, because I think it makes you stouter in the middle. Did they get better everywhere else? Is Gabe Davis, quote, better than Calvin Ridley? I don't know. Is he a cheaper option that can give you something different? The other guys, I I think you're assured of starters who can help you going in. Are they that much better everywhere else? I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet.
Mitch Morse makes you better, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone else makes you more competitive. I think that's probably the best way to say it. Who can say what Darnell Savage brings?
Sure.
Right? I mean, he was a special teams player last year in Green Bay. The Jaguars are taking a flyer on this. They're looking at his overall talent and saying, he's got what we want to do X, Y, and Z. Well, you can't say, well, okay, you're better here or there. I like Gabe Davis. I think he's a good football player. But is he that explosive guy that Calvin Ridley showed us at times he can be? He's not, right? But he is a guy who can probably be more consistent. Calvin was inconsistent running routes. It created problems. That's not been the word on Gabe Davis, that he's a tough guy, smart guy, well-prepared guy. So does he make you better? In one sense, he's there where the quarterback wants him to be. In another sense, he's not the down-the-field guy that Calvin is.
I thought Darby was an interesting pickup, too, because clearly they didn't believe that Darius Williams fit what they're doing. They believe that Darby does. You also bring Darby in, and he doesn't absolutely cripple you for 5 years. It's a two-year deal. He's going into his 10th year. He and Morse are obviously, hey, we've got to do something at these spots, because it's hard to draft. Like, if you're going into the draft this year trying to fill those two spots, it's hard to go get two corners and a center in the draft. So in this case, they had to sort of go get a couple of stopgaps. I would expect them to draft those two positions over the next couple of years to try to get it right.
All right, our final fan question is from Michael in Orange Park. He said, well, at least the Jaguars did something on the offensive line, but have they done enough? And John, you alluded to that. Maybe this is a little stopgappy and then kind of address it in the draft as well and see what Cooper Hodges brings.
Well, yeah, the approach with the offensive line, everybody wanted just, tear it down. Well, that's hard to do. And it's easy to say go do it, but if you go do that, then all of a sudden you're bringing in mega price free agent and you're committing the entire draft to that. Now, I'd be fine if they went offensive line in the draft philosophically, but philosophically can go out the window when you need corner. So their school of thought clearly is if we're making the middle stouter and if we can get these guys some continuity, that'll be enough to improve. That's the approach.
I wouldn't be scared to take an offensive lineman in the draft because, correct me if I'm wrong, Cam Robinson is in the final year of his free agent contract. And Walker Little is in the free agent in the final year of his rookie contract. So next year, you have one tackle under contract, Anton Harrison, who's a really good one. So depending on what they think of these two guys and what their contract demands might be, if you take an offensive tackle at 17 in a draft that is filled with really good offensive tackles, as many as 9 guys could go in the first round, if you take one of those guys, fine, right?
Yeah.
Fine. You're setting yourself up long-term. The GM's job is always to have a long-term perspective on the roster, and I think that would be a good move.
And philosophically, that is a perfectly legitimate thing to do, even though you've got two tackles that you can start, because it's difficult. Teams do it, but it's difficult to find tackles that you love outside about the top 40.
All right, something to keep an eye on. Stay with us here on Jags AM. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about what we've got going on for free agency tomorrow and where the team is headed with that. Jags fans, join us on Tuesday, April 16th from 6:30 to 8:30 at Everbank Stadium for the Be Inspired by Jags Jobs event presented by the Florida Lottery. You can register now at jaguars.com/brightfutures.
He drops the throw, looking, fires middle of the field, and that ball is picked off! It is picked off by Rayshon Jenkins! He's running it back along the right sideline! That is going to be a touchdown! That is going to be a touchdown! The Jags are going to win it on a Rayshon Jenkins pick six! Are you kidding me?
A lot of changes for the Jags. A lot of new faces we mentioned are coming to town. That means a lot of other people are not going to be here this year. Rayshon Jenkins, one of those cap casualties. Darius Williams as well. And I think with some other signings, there's some other players who probably won't see. Jamal Agnew, one of those as well. Yeah. So things are changing. It's not going to be like last year.
As he goes out the door, it's important to remember that Rayshon Jenkins, in 2021, right, his first year here, he was okay. In 2022, he gave you two of the biggest defensive plays in franchise history. The one that we just saw, and obviously the sack strip against the Titans that turned into a Josh Allen touchdown that was such a dramatic end to that season. So, I mean, 3 years, two enormous memorialized kind of plays, that's a good signing.
Yeah, I mean, you play this game for the money, but players also play it for the memories and the
religion,
moments.
Yeah.
He turned into the moments that fans will never forget. I think that Rayshon's relationship with the team will remain strong. I expect at some point to see him back, and fans will always be able to say, hey, man, I was there. Yeah. You know, and Jamal Agnew, same way. In the disaster, and I think the signing of Duvernay probably means Jamal's gone. I mean,
sure.
But fans who were there will never forget the 109-yard return.
Kick six, yeah.
And he changed a lot of games. So it's a business. These guys eventually have to leave. But a few guys will leave that I think mean a lot to fans. And hopefully these guys are financially secure for the rest of their lives. But if they take with them those kind of moments and those kind of connections, that's pretty cool too.
Yeah,
absolutely. As for us, the rest of the week, we're going to have a special show, Free Agency Live, tomorrow at 4 p.m., and we're going to have a lot of talk about as all of these things will become official. So are we going to see any more before that, or just the ones we've seen so far?
Well, I tell you what, they are keeping Tim Walsh and a very sharp pencil busy because they came into this week with roughly $18 million in salary cap room. And you start signing free agents in the numbers that they have, and that evaporates quickly. And you still need to have room for your draft class, right, which is, what, 9 picks now? So I wouldn't anticipate there being anything more, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't think they'd have this many.
John, will we know about Calvin by Wednesday, or do you think it might be later in the week?
I would expect to hear something today. It just sort of feels, but I wasn't shocked you didn't hear something yesterday. I'd be a little more shocked if you hear something today. So yeah, I think by tomorrow at 4 p.m., which is when our show will be.
All right, check out our show on Jaguars.com and on YouTube as well, and then we'll keep you posted the rest of the week when all these free agents come to Jacksonville.